I don't believe that I shall see anything as lovely as a tree. I remember when I first became a Christian, seeing the world afresh with God as my Creator. A young Christian and I were sitting under a towering maple tree, and I marveled at the work of my Father's hand as though I had never seen it before. Everything just seemed so different, and the tree seemed so just magnificent. In Mobile here, we are known for our famous southern oaks, aren't we? Just how majestic that they are, their strength, their grace, and their beauty. They come to life with just a casual glance. And I remember being in Indiana, how much I enjoyed the fall of the season when the leaves began to turn their colors, when Sandra and I would go to Brown County State Park and enjoy the magnificent colors that were reflecting. It is a reflection of God's majesty and in His glory. And in many ways, as we have learned from the scripture reading this morning, that the psalmist, he connects this into the relationship of a righteous man or woman with a tree in all of its glory and all of its splendor. That third verse in the first psalm says, "Blessed is a man who's like a tree planted by the water, bringing forth fruit in its season." Prosperous, successful, happy. This is a godly concept that sadly is abused by so many of the false teachers that are around us in modern religion that suggest that when a Christian is the way that they should be, that they are insured financial security and prosperity. That sounds like someone that might emanate from a preacher by the name of Creflo Dollar, or by Joel Osteen or others that have been telling us about their prosperity religion. And it is true that if you are a Christian financially, you may be enriched. But the inverse or the reverse is also true, that by becoming a Christian, it may cost you every penny that you have to your name. What I'm talking about is a higher order, a spiritual order, where we'll possess a spiritual prosperity. That is what the psalmist is trying to encourage us to understand, and that's what we need to understand as well. We look around us at the mighty trees that we see that they all grow in four different directions. And for a few moments this morning, I want us to consider ourselves as saplings that we are trying to grow. Let's think about the ways in which trees spiritually grow in the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and be like a mighty Mobilian oak this morning. Let's first of all consider the way in which a tree might grow downward. I think that's the first direction that we must consider. Now, Sandra remembers this story very well. She's smiling at me already. She knows the story I'm going to tell you. When we lived in South Bend, there was this very pretty red oak that was back along our tree line, which was kind of up on a hill. And I decided that when I saw those beautiful red leaves, that I was going to take that tree out of that fence line, and I was going to plant it in our yard. So I go back there with my shovel and an axe, and I chop and I hack, and it was tough, and I mangled that poor tree terribly. I got as much of the root as I possibly could get out of that tree, and I planted it in our yard, and I watered it, and I fertilized it the best I knew how, and Sandra laughed at it, and we worked on it together, and I staked it up and tried to make it as straight as I could, and it wasn't all that long ago that Sandra and I went back and took a look, and it was a huge, strong maple tree. It was an oak tree. It was a very, very pretty tree that was a result. Well, what happened is that the roots, they happened to attach to the soil and that they dug deep down to the ground. And that's the way that the writer's talking about a spiritually prosperous person. They're like a tree that is rooted by the waters. And as a result of being rooted by the waters, that when the drought comes, when all the other trees around it end up dying because they can't get any water, that tree that's rooted down deep into the soil can connect into the river or to the creek that's right next to it, and they will prosper when everything else around it is dying. And so we as Christians were very much like that tree. We are spiritually rooted in Christ Jesus. And Jesus even spoke about our faith in the sense of downward root growth of a tree. Remember what he said in Luke chapter 6. In Luke chapter 6 and in verse 46, the Son of God said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he's like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the floods arose and the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built his house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." What did Jesus say? We've got to dig deep. We've got to dig deep and be rooted in His spiritual foundation. If we are not rooted in His spiritual foundation, which is His teachings, that we need to hear what He is telling us. We need to apply ourselves properly and submit ourselves unto the teachings that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has given us. He is the foundation of our faith. He is everlasting water. And we need to get our roots firmly fixed on His foundation that's been laid for nearly 20 centuries. Remember what the Apostle Paul said to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and in verse 11. When he's talking about him planting and Apollos watering, he said to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 11, "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid," he says, "which is Christ Jesus." Jesus Christ, our King, His foundation is firm, it is solid, it is established. It's not like many in our generation who attempt to spiritually thrive, believing on the ever-shifting sands of the creeds, the doctrines, the dogmas, and the theologies of mere men and the churches in which they have erected. Or going to this concept that's become very popular today of a personal relationship with Jesus that's separate and apart from the church. We don't need the church. And it's different for everybody out there. You have your relationship with Jesus, and I'll have my relationship with Jesus. No, my dear friends, there is a root system. There is one root system. There is one pattern for us to root ourselves in Christ, and it is taught in the New Testament Scriptures. It's not found anywhere else. In the book of Hebrews, the Hebrew writer is reminding Christians that were living in the area of Judea to go back and remember what God told Moses centuries ago when it came to building that tabernacle as he was there upon Mount Sinai. In Hebrews chapter 8 and in verse 4, the Hebrew writer said, "For if he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there are priests who offer the gifts according to the law, who serve the copy and shadow of the heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle. For he said, 'See that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain.' But now he has obtained a much more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he's also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises." There was only one pattern for making the Old Testament tabernacle. And dear friends, there's only one pattern for making the New Testament tabernacle, the New Testament of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Matthew through Revelation, we need to root down in it. If you would like to think a little bit further, think about what Paul told the Ephesians in the second chapter. In Ephesians, the second chapter, and in verse 19, when they have been brought into peace by the power of Jesus Christ, reconciling both Jew and Gentile into one body, the Apostle Paul said to them in verse 19, "Now therefore you're no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God," look at that, "having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." This foundation is on the apostles of Jesus Christ. It's on the first century prophets, like men like James and Jude, writers of the New Testament Scriptures. We need to trust those foundational principles and root down into these things. We have been teaching the book of 2 Timothy in our Wednesday night Bible class, and we just finished looking at chapter 1 when the Apostle Paul told the preacher Timothy, "Hold fast the pattern of sound word which you've heard from me, in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus." There's a pattern given. Root into it. Hold fast to it. Don't let it go. If we let it go, then surely our faith will crumble. And that's kind of what Jesus was saying all the way back to Luke chapter 6. He says, "Consider that house that was built that wasn't sitting on the foundation. Oh, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." That's what's going to happen to our faith. And so before we leave this understanding of downward growth, let's compare ourselves to what Paul said to the Christians in the city of Colossae. In Colossians chapter 2, in verses 6 and 7, Paul said to them, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him rooted, and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving." We have to root down, establish ourselves in the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so in this sense, our religion is personal. We personally are abiding the faith. We are spending quality time learning it and applying it. And this is just one of the reasons why we should assemble every possible time that we can. It's in this place that we encourage each other publicly to learn more about God's grand covenant that roots us into Christ Jesus. It's where we personally and publicly worship God with each other in one unified voice, to see one another, to get to know each other, and to help each other bear one another's burdens. So whether it be the Christians in the city of Colossae or in Ephesus or us here in Mobile, each of us need to root down into this glorious message of Jesus, to spread out far and wide over the entire foundation that has already been laid by the Apostle Paul and the other writers of the New Testament Scriptures. Downward growth. "He shall be like a tree that's growing downward, rooting into Christ Jesus." But that's usually not the way we think about growth, right? We usually think about growth in this fashion. Because when we do plant a seed, this is the first place we see growth. Our eyes are able to see that there is upward growth. And there are proven biological facts to predict that the growth of the tree in the way in which it's going to grow. When you think about the way trees grow, that's trees in some ways are kind of like humans. We all have hormones. Well, trees, they have growth hormones as well. And we may not know much about the biology of the way plant cells work, but the way that the biology works is very chemically predictable. It's not really all that difficult for us to understand. You see, when you think about the way in which a plant is going to grow, the sun is going to strike the very tips of the plant itself. And that's generally where all the growth hormones seem to be, towards the tips of the plant. Now, I wonder who put that in that way. I don't wonder very much at all. God did that, of course. But when the sun strikes the growth hormones at the tips of the plant, biologically what happens is that those growth hormones are invoked in some way through chemical process to go back to the very back of the plant or the plant cell. Every plant has millions of cells, and the plant hormones go to the very back of the cell. Well, what happens as a result of that is that you have an accumulation of plant hormones in the back of the plant cells. So guess what's going to happen? The growth hormones are in the back of the plant cells, and that's where you're going to have the most rapid growth that occurs. And so you know what's going to happen, right? It's growing bigger at the back than it is in the front, and so what's occurring? The tip is coming towards the sun. Now, I didn't have to explain that process to you. That's the basic process of photosynthesis that takes place within every plant cell. But you already know that, right? If you are someone that's got kind of a green thumb, you know that your plants have a tendency of kind of arching towards sunlight or in the direction of the sun. That's just common sense for us. And we recognize that point. We recognize it physically, and I hope that you recognize it spiritually. Because that is so true, that we need to be growing towards the sun. And we know who the Son is, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in John chapter 8 and in verse 12. In John chapter 8 and verse 12, Jesus said once again to the majorities that would listen, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Jesus is the religious light of the world. And we should lean to His light. And we should grow from His light. And the Hebrew writer encourages us to do that very thing. In Hebrews chapter 12 and in verse 1, the Hebrew writer says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, all of these folks that were mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus has blazed the trail. Now, a lot of these people, they also blazed the trail. But Jesus, He blazed the brightest of every trail there is. Even He went to the path of dying for the cause of humanity. We need to follow that light because He is the light. Now, you might have thought that in reference to this point that I would have gone to Colossians chapter 3 and you'd have been right about that. Because as we learn in Colossians chapter 2, that one becomes a Christian. That one is baptized in Christ Jesus, as I talked about in the earlier lesson this morning. And that's the idea of one that's being having a circumcision that is without hands, cutting away of the sins of the flesh and of the spirit. And we're made whole in Christ Jesus because we are raised to walk in the newness of life as a result. And so the Apostle Paul says to them in chapter 3 and verse 1, which is just stating something that they already understood, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. He reiterates the point. He said the same thing twice. You usually don't find Paul saying the same identical thing twice. But that's what he does here, doesn't he? Set your mind on that which is above. We have to grow upward, is what he's telling us. We have to change our passions and our desires. We need to change the way we think, the way that we talk, and the things and the actions in which we act. And we need to leave behind all that sin that we formerly were swimming in. Because Jesus has set a new life for us. And we need to be willing to grasp that with all the gusto that we can and grow towards the Son. We must grow upwards, seeking those things which are above. But we've looked at two ways that trees grow and two ways spiritually we can grow. Is there another way that trees grow? Have you ever thought about a tree's inward growth? A tree does grow inward. I know that sounds like that's a little odd, but they actually do. And most of the time, trees give a very visible display of the way in which they have been growing inwardly. For example, if you would cut a tree off there in the middle of its trunk, especially if it's a big tree, it's pretty easy for you to see various circles in that trunk. You know what those circles are called, don't you, biologically? They're called cambium layers. You probably have heard that term before. And so basically every year a tree goes through an entire year's cycle of growth. And for every year a cambium layer is developed. So if you would happen to cut that tree, that trunk, and you read five different circles, that means that tree's 5 years old. That's the growth that we find within. So Christians, let's think about this, that we need to not only grow downward, we not only need to grow upward, but we need to grow three-dimensionally. You know, I almost feel like now I'm in Star Trek land. Everything is now three-dimensional. It's the way that we need to be in Christ. We need to grow inward. It's the idea of growing the inner man, the spiritual man, growing inside towards Jesus. Some of you may recall going way back politically to the late 90s. There was a pretty eccentric congressman from Oklahoma by the name of J.C. Watts. I don't know if you remember that guy or not. You may remember him, you may not remember him. He was given an opportunity to speak at the Republican National Convention, and he made a statement that was very famous. You remember what that famous statement was? He made the statement at the Republican National Convention that character is what you are when no one is looking. You remember that? I mean, it's so simple. Character is what you are when no one is looking. He's absolutely right. What are you on the inside when no one else is looking? Without inward growth, brothers and sisters, we're really nothing more than just a hollow shell. That's all that we are, and over time, that which is inward and hollow, when it comes to a tree, there's a price that's going to end up being paid. Many a tree has died, not because it looked improper from the outside, but it simply fell over, and we wonder, why did this tree fall over? And once we look, we discover very quickly that there was a lot of inward rot. And that inward rot is what actually killed the tree. And I've seen Christians that have been like this. Everything on the outside just looked fine. Couldn't see any problems, that they were influential, that they were helpful, that they were respectable. But then suddenly they're gone. Something has happened that the inward rot that was on the inside suddenly has come out. And that individual has now left the faith. But that wasn't unusual. That's something that Jesus pointed out very easily in religious men in his day. Remember in Matthew chapter 23, the famous woe section that was given to those that were perceived to be the most righteous and holy people of society, the leaders of Judaism? In Matthew chapter 23 and in verse 25, the Son of God said, "Woe to you scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! He says, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside you're full of extortion and self-indulgence. He says, blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. Won't you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you're like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside they're full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness." That's a rather grotesque image to place before our minds. But it's an accurate image of a Christian that's not growing inwardly. It really is. It could be an accurate image of you, or me, or us, any of us, because we're able to keep a lot of these things hidden and secret. So we have those that are full of lawlessness and hypocrisy, uncleanness and filth. Are you spiritually dead? Are you spiritually dead on the inside? And you know that, no one else, but you know that. You need to humbly acknowledge your situation and repent. You're saying, "Ken, how do I do that? How do I get rid of this spiritual rot that's deep within? How do I do that?" Well, if we go back to the scripture reading, remember what the psalmist had to say in the second verse? He said in the second verse about this man that's on the Lord's side, "His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law he meditates day and night." The only way you're going to get rid of this is through good old-fashioned hard work and a determination to use God's resource to help clean out the rot. In other words, the Word of God serves like a dentist drill. That's not an attractive thought. But we know that the dentist drill works, right? we get there and we hear that buzz and we feel that noise and sometimes feel that pain, but we know the entire time that drill is operating that it is cleaning out the rot that's in the inside of our tooth. And that's exactly what the Word of God has the power to do if we desire to find spiritual repair of a heart that's gone bad. We need to meditate on His will. And so, Christians, what do we need to do if we've discovered that we're in the likeness of these Pharisees and that we need to be meditating on the law of God and operating? We need to know what Jesus has taught us. And one of the main principles is to humble ourselves. Like in the image of Matthew chapter 6 and in verse 6. In Matthew chapter 6 and in verse 6, the Son of God said, when you pray, go into your room, and when you've shut your door, pray to your Father who's in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. It is seldom that a man or a woman will go and hide themselves in a room to pray, and they're just going through rituals. It's usually when we go off into our inner sanctum, when we go off all into ourselves, and we're all by ourselves, and only God can hear us, is when we have the tendency of truly pouring out our heart to Him in contrition and confession. We may need to do that. We may need to do that a lot. And as you think of Matthew 6, think also of what John had to say in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, obviously to God, it says He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so it needs to become real on the inside. And that real growth takes place when we pour out our heart to Him, when we trust that He knows our sinful plight, and that He cares and He has the power to do something about it. He has the power to forgive us and allow us a fresh and a clean start. Today is that day to start growing inside. Clear out that rot. Today is the day to start adding cambium layers to your heart. That's what the Lord would want us to do. That we need to seek those things that are above, and that we need to grow inwardly as a Christian. There's one more way. You're saying, Ken, haven't you covered all the ways we grow? That's, we've grown downwardly, we've grown upwardly, we've grown inwardly. Speaking as a round belly, we are to grow outwardly too, aren't we? We're to grow outwardly. Trees, I love to see them in the spring. They're not so wonderful down here in the deep south as they were when I lived in Kentucky and Indiana. When March was coming along, it's like, oh, I'm beginning to see the blossoms. I'm already starting to see tree blossoms. Aren't you starting to see some already that are down here? They're beautiful. I enjoy seeing them, but we're starting to see the plants. We're starting to see things already in the process of wanting to leaf out, of wanting to blossom out. And so we see the trees. That's what they do. They start to leaf out. Sometimes they start to produce the flowers or the blooms that are on them. And if they're a fruit tree, guess what happens? We start to see the little bitty aspects of the flowers begin to turn into the fruit. And eventually, you'll have a crop of peaches. Sandra and I understood something about that when we lived in Crawfordsville. Maybe a crop of lemons or oranges down here, whatever the crop is down here. That's what Jesus wants us to do. He wants us to grow like this. He wants us to grow to the point where we are producing spiritual fruit for Him. And He tells us that in John chapter 15. As He's with His closest disciples, merely moments before they come and arrest Him and take them off and crucify the Savior, He says in verse 1 that, I am the true vine, my Father's the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes that it may bear more fruit. What Jesus is saying, I want you to bear some fruit, folks. I want you to grow outwardly. We start off as simple seeds, germinating in the ground. We grow up and we're rooting down. We begin to mature in our Lord. We begin to bear beautiful spiritual flowers. We begin to develop our leaves, and finally fruits are being found in our life. And so, brother and sister, let's branch out. Let's branch out and be the best Christian that we possibly can be. Let's follow the advice that the wise preacher gave so long ago in the Proverb letter in chapter 11 and in verse 30. And I just really love the way that the New King James has this particular passage written. From the New King James, the preacher said, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise." Let's be wise. Let's root down into the foundation of our Lord, brothers and sisters. Let's think and seek those things which are above. Let us be the type of men and women that embrace maturing on the inward part, cleaning out all the terrible rot of this world. And let's be fruitful trees. Let us seek the fruits that our Lord wants. Let us bear fruits of the Spirit within our character. And let's be willing to share this great message with those that are about us. I recognize that we live in a day and time when there's a lot of people that don't want to hear the gospel. They're not concerned about spiritual things. David was right when he's addressing us at the Lord's table that we live in dark times. But maybe there's a soul out there that wants what we want. And we just need to try to reach them the best that we can. I think about the way in which Jesus talked about the kingdom of God like a mustard seed. That it ended up that small seed becoming a wonderful tree in which the birds around the community could come and nest in its branches. Well, let's be a tree like that. Let's let others nest in our branches as we're teaching people about the glorious gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so we could use the year 2026 to become the great tree that our God wants us to be. And as you think about 2026, I'm telling you, things are just now popping out of the ground. Maybe you're just now popping out of the ground spiritually. Let's make this a good year. Let's make this a year that the Lord's pleased with us. And maybe, just maybe, because of your efforts to grow, some other soul might learn the precious words of Jesus and can go to heaven because you became a tree, a mighty oak, in the kingdom of our Lord and Savior. Is there someone in the audience that would like to become a tree of the Lord? Is there a brother or sister that recognizes that you could use the spiritual dentist tool and that you need to drill out some rot today? If there's someone in the audience that needs to get rid of the filth of this world and make their lives right with Jesus, take advantage of this moment. Come to the front as our brother Paul now leads us together in this song.